When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Blackhawks Live.
It always helps when you win.
Let's go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live.
Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Here's Chris Bowden and Nick Gismondi.
And welcome into another edition, push back, as we said, a day, because there was an important matter at hand last night in our usual time slot. The Blackhawks were facing the Detroit Red Wings and had themselves a 3-2 overtime victory. They have now won 5 of their last 6 in starting a 6-game road trip. Welcome into Blackhawks Live. An abbreviated version tonight. We have Northwestern basketball coming up at 7:45. But as we say hello to Nick Gismondi, as I look at him on our Zoom feed, we're both wearing our Blackhawks swag. Nick, we only wish you were here for many reasons, but more primarily this week, we needed a hand shoveling here in Chicago. We could have used, you know, a little extra manpower here to clear the streets.
Boats, you guys got buried.
We did. What do you have out there in Colorado? Just a dusting?
You know, yeah, it's very,
you know,
minimal.
You ski
right
out
now
there for a living.
You know, it's funny. I got up to the mountains the other day and got a little skiing in, but it's we don't have anything on the ground here down in the foothills.
Poor babies.
And it was -12 though the other day, so it was cold. So
okay,
we didn't really go outside, but I don't have 14 inches of snow.
No. We could have used some extra manpower here. So about last night, you know, Jeremy accepted the 2 points, but made it very clear he wasn't ready to accept the way that they got those 2 points and how they played. Message clearly sent afterwards, both publicly, I'm sure in that room afterwards, and at practice again today. But there is still something to be said in this growth process, Nick, about finding ways to win these games. That being said, a repeat performance tomorrow night and a repeat performance against the likes of Carolina and Columbus to finish out this road trip, you're not going to be quite as fortunate.
Well, you know, it's just like we talked about. 2 points is 2 points. That they don't really ask how, they ask how many. But Colleton's job is to ask how. And I think the biggest thing for him is that since he's taken over this team, he wants them to play a certain way. And that certain way is what's going to get them more consistent wins. And so when they veer from that, or when they maybe deviate from his plan specifically, that's when you see him start to get a little bit irked. So, like you said, he'll take the win. They won't frame it. But this is a guy that wants this team to play a certain way, and he's going to be a little bit bull-nosed about it, at least as much as JC can be bull-nosed.
And he has that cachet, too, because when they have played the way he wants them to play, they have come out and at least come out with a point out of the game or come out and win those. And granted, they got away with it last night. But you know, he's of the belief, you know, the way Detroit, they, you know, granted they're below the Blackhawks in the standings, but you know, they had won 2 of their previous 4, and for much of the game the Blackhawks were chasing it, and that's something that's going to have to be solved tomorrow night. We get to see their response, and the way they have responded so far this season, it makes you feel confident that they're going to come forth with a much better effort.
Yeah, he's got the room right now, and I think the buy-in is so important with these guys, and that's where that difference changes. I was talking to somebody about it today, this afternoon, on a podcast, and I don't think last year was guys resisting it. It's just that when you change the whole fundamental idea of what you're doing and how you're playing, that's not a snap of the fingers. It takes a minute to buy in and believe it, especially when the core's been so used to doing something for so long. So now you've got these young guys, you've got this energy, you've got this change, and it worked at the start of the season. So you're right, that cachet's there, the buy-in's there. And when you have that kind of buy-in, when you have that kind of belief and you see the results, it's like, yeah, okay, let's do this. I'll go that direction. And that's what's happening right now. And yesterday, perfect example, they don't completely play the way that Jeremy wants them to play. They come out and adjust tomorrow, and they probably get a big win.
We'll hear from one of those young guys coming up next. Ian Mitchell will join us when Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drives. Continue on 720 WGN.
Quick clearing attempt by Keith to Highmore. Hawk line to Camp coming by. He's through center ice over the jacket line, weaving in front. He gave it to Mitchell. He shoots. He scores! Ian Mitchell's first National Hockey League goal He went right to the doorstep waiting for a pass, and boy, did David Camp give him one. Mitchell could have shot that one into the net with his eyes closed. We're tied at one.
That's John Weideman on the call last Thursday night here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves Drive. Chris Bowden, Nick Ismondi with you, and we are pleased now to be joined by the man who scored that first career NHL goal, the second-round pick in 2017, Ian Mitchell. So, Ian, you know, since you've agreed to come on during an off night here in Detroit, and we led off with that, we're going to let you pump your own tires here. Walk us through that again and, you know, reveal how hot that phone was and how much more difficult it was to sleep after that all went down last Thursday night.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys, but That was definitely a special moment, and it all started with Dunks on the breakout. He makes a great play to bypass two forecheckers, and he doesn't even get a point on the play. So I'll give a bit of a shout out to him there. But I saw an opportunity to jump up in the play, and Campy made a great pass to me on back door, and then the call kind of said it all. I could have done my eyes closed, I think. But
yeah, I wanted you to confirm that. I'm not, you know, John sometimes gets a little carried away there, but.
yeah, that's definitely a special moment, and it was really, really cool to see all the messages that came through after, and getting to talk to the people close to me after the game was very cool. That's something you dream about your whole life, scoring a goal in the NHL, so something I won't forget.
I'd have missed the net with my eyes wide open there, boys. So it doesn't matter. If Ian, yes, eyes closed. Me, I'd have shot it wide or hit the post. That sound pretty much defined my hockey career. But Ian, I'm actually in Denver, and it's funny. I had I'm friends with your old coach DC. We used to have lunch pretty frequently before the world kind of turned upside on its end. And I remember sitting at a restaurant just near DU, and we were chatting about you. And he told me you were going to be a rock star in this league one day, and I bought in fully. But how much did he mean to you, your coach here at Denver University when you were here, and how much did he really have a factor in who you became as an NHL player?
Yeah, DC was huge. We right from day one when I got there, we really kind of hit it off and had a great relationship right from the beginning. He's a great communicator and really pushed me to become better defensively, and I think that's what allowed me to transition so quickly, I think, to play at this level. It's all about defending, and if you can defend, then I think you can play at this level. So I think the offense is going to start to come, but I think DC, I can't even put into words how great he was for me and to be able to come play in the NHL now. So thankful for my time at DU.
Yeah, and the 3 years there, you took your time getting here, even though, you know, I think Stan Bowman really wanted you to be a Blackhawk a year ago, but he respected your wishes. And, you know, now that you're here, it's never going to be perfect for any rookie every night. It's not that way for any veteran either. And Jeremy Colleton talked the other day about, you know, wanting to see controlled aggression and decisiveness among his young guys. Don't hesitate. Don't be afraid of the stage you're on. Don't even think about that. Realize you're worthy of being on the ice with all these great players you're going up against. How naturally has that come to you, especially by putting in that extra year over at Denver?
Yeah, I think that definitely helped too. A big thing is that when I do make mistakes, I feel like for the most part I'm making them out of aggression and trying to make the right play, not necessarily kind of like you said, being conservative and sitting back. That's never a recipe for success. So I think it's always better to be playing on your toes and trying to make plays. So I feel like that having that extra year at school maybe gave me that confidence to not be afraid to play against some of these players. Even I had a little video session today with our D coach, Sheldon Brookbank, and you almost maybe said kind of reel it in a bit sometimes here. Know who you're out against. Like one time was out against Larkin, and maybe don't try to push for that extra offensive play. Maybe try and sit back and make sure you're defending him well. So I think it's definitely, I mean, being a young player, yes, but I definitely want to contribute and help the team any way I can too. So being aggressive is part of my game.
You know, Ian, one of the things that I've been talking about a lot publicly is just the buy-in of this group and how successful they've been. And you get a lot of questions about the old guys and the young guys and the mentoring. And, of course, that's all important. But for me, I feel like that the mix that you guys have right now and the vibe in the locker room and the buy-in – with the way that the coaching staff wants you guys to play is sort of what's putting you guys in a good position. Do you feel that room and this team is a cohesive unit right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really light right now. Going to the rink, we're just playing, having fun. There's no extra pressure. We're just going on the ice and playing the game that we love. So I think it all kind of stems from we really enjoy being around each other at the dressing room, and there is a great team cohesion, kind of like you said, where we really enjoy to be around each other, and I think that translates well to the ice and shows how we're playing, and we're playing for each other, and I think that's why we're having success.
Well, your defensive partner over the last couple of weeks, Duncan Keith, had his turn meeting the media. I know you did yesterday, I believe, prior to the game, and Duncan talked after today's practice, and I want you to listen to a little bit of something that Duncan had to say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he can learn from everybody. It's not just, a young guy learning from an older player, and the young guys bring a lot to the table in that. It's not just their youthful energy or, whatever you want to call it, but they've got, they're in the NHL for a reason, and they've got special things about their game, so it's nice to kind of watch and see what they do as well.
All right, Duncan shouting out the young guys, teaching him a thing or two. All right, ready, set, go. List all the things you have taught Duncan Keith. Go ahead. Start the laundry list.
Yeah, I'm not sure, honestly. But I actually, because I think you said that a few times, so I asked him one day, what have I taught you?
Yeah?
So he said just the energy I bring to the rink every day. He said that that's something he's taken from me, so... I guess, yeah, I'm teaching Duncan Keith things. That's not something I thought that I'd ever be saying, but pretty cool.
Duncan Keith, by the way, that guy, for those of you that don't know, insane shape. I absolutely loved his take on how things go mentally and little things that aren't necessarily hockey. Talked about his breathing, talked about mental preparation, all that super, super important. What do you think the biggest thing that you've taken from your time with him, Ian? Obviously, there's a lot of guys, and I know you've mentioned looking up to him and now being on the ice and obviously partnered with him, but what do you think the biggest takeaway is that maybe you've learned from him or a nugget that he's given you that has changed the way that you look at the game or the way that you play?
Yeah, for me, it's his mentality. It's he could go and play a poor game by his standards, but he would always think to himself he played great. Like, it's just that next shift mentality where no matter what happens, it's just water off his back. Like, move on, next shift's gonna be my best shift ever, kind of thing. Like, it's just being able to put mistakes in the past and go out and put your best foot forward every single shift. And I think that's what I've definitely taken from him in the short time that I've known him. I think that's what allows him to not only be such a great player, but also to have the longevity that he's had. Just having that mental toughness to be able to bounce back and rebound so quickly is very important, especially for a defenseman, because things don't always go our way all the time. So that's something that I've definitely taken from him in this short time.
Well, maybe someday you'll have the same flow as him. He'll encourage you to let it all grow out there. I know there with so many young guys there at the blue line. There's a rookie on every pair right now, as it stands right now, as of last night's game and for the last handful of games. And there has to be a certain sense of camaraderie. You know, not only are Lucas and Nicholas in the lineup there with you every night over the past week, 10 days or so. Adam Boqvist has to be chomping at the bit, knocking at the door, trying to work his way into the lineup. Same for Wyatt Kalinuk, who we had on the show last week after he played, a game or two down in Rockford. Now he's back up. I'm sure there has to be a certain sense of camaraderie as you guys experience this for the first time, but also a sense of competition, knowing that, if you're not holding up your end of the bargain and playing your game the way you should, somebody's always going to be ready to step in.
Yeah, it's been fun. I think that's kind of what you want as a young player, is having that competition, but it also allows us a chance to grow together and hopefully be that next young core of the Blackhawks. And we want to have the same kind of success that the Blackhawks of the 2010s had. So we feel like there's a great opportunity for all of us to become really big contributors to this team, and we've all become really good friends. So I know I'm roommates with Wyatt in Chicago now. We got an apartment together, so we've become really close, and but that's the same with all the young guys, Hags, Bodes, Johnny, all the young guys. I mean, we've all become really close, and it's exciting to come to the rink every day to compete with those guys and try to win hockey games.
Do you find a little similarities with the college schedule based on the way that things are this year? Obviously, this is a weird year, and it won't be like this, you know, as you move forward in your NHL career. But seeing the same teams every other night, a little bit less of a schedule games-wise, not so much travel. This has got to kind of lend itself to what you were used to in college, no?
Yeah, definitely seeing the same team multiple times. Is definitely very similar to college, but I mean, it's a little bit different, of course, playing at a higher level, but it's definitely been nice kind of being able to schedule the way it is, getting to stay in the same place a few nights over. Definitely made travel better than what I've heard it usually is. So you're not getting in at 3 a.m. someplace and then having to play the next day. You always get a good night's rest. So I think that's been huge, especially for me as a young player trying to adjust to the league. I feel like I'm not getting as worn down as maybe I would have had the schedule been as it usually is.
So as we let you go here, I want to give you this. I know you grew up in St. Albert's, and that's where our color analyst here on WGN Radio, former Blackhawk Troy Murray, grew up. And you actually played as a youth in Troy Murray Arena. Was it at that point when you stepped onto that ice and you were surrounded by that aura that you knew that your ticket, your professional ticket, was going to be punched? Just being in the presence and feeling the ghost of Troy Murray once you stepped onto that ice.
Legend.
Yeah, I spent a lot of hours on that rink. I'm actually from a little town called Callahoo, but I did play a lot of hockey in St. Albert. I was born there. But our team in Callahoo, we were called the Chiefs. We had the same logo as the Blackhawks, so I guess from that moment on, I guess it was destined to play for the Blackhawks. So, I know Troy a little bit. We text here and there, so I told him, yeah, it was all those hours spent playing on his rink that got me here. So it's definitely cool that he's around the organization, too.
Well, was the arena kept up well? Did they pick up the garbage? Was it in good shape? I certainly hope so, with his name stamped on it.
What's his statue look like out front, too? Is it massive?
Yeah, well, they got a little, it's twin rings. They got one side to Troy Murray and the other side to Mark Messier. So, that little plaque for both of them. So, it's a nice little complex to have there for two famous players from the area.
Messier and Murray forever linked, as they used to go head-to-head a lot during the 80s. And you're linked to them as well. You're now linked to the Blackhawks. Blackhawk fans are certainly happy to have you. And congratulations on the great start. Thanks for joining us, and go get them tomorrow night. All right, Ian?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks again, guys.
Ian Mitchell joining us here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Appreciate the visit with him, and he's a guy who keeps it real and in very good humor as well. Time for another break here as we hit the bottom of the hour at 7:30. About 15 minutes to go here on this shortened version of Blackhawks Live. Nick and I will be right back, but first let's head over to the newsroom with the headlines. Here is Vic Vaughn.
Ends up behind the Hawk net. Subban put it around to the near side to Suter. He'll flip the puck back in behind the net. Away goes up the far side to Beaudin. He'll pass ahead now. Suter will lead a 2-on-1 break with Kubalik in over the wing line. Gave it to Kubalik. Right circle closes in. Should he score? Dominic Kubalik with his second goal of the night. Beats Grice. And the Hawks win in overtime 3-2. Oh, what a play by the two guys that came from the Swiss League. Suter to Kubalik. Closed into the right circle and snaps it past Grice. And the Hawks win for the third time in their last four games in overtime, 3-2.
As sweet and satisfying as some hot chocolate there, the Swiss connection. Doing it last night, John with a call here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Nick Ismondi, I'm Chris Bowden, and we only got about 7 more minutes to go because of Northwestern basketball coming up against Illinois. But just going back to last night's game, it was a long time coming for Dominic Kubalik, the Calder Trophy finalist. I wanted to talk about him and him finally getting some even strength goals. Most of his production had come on the power play so far this season, so that has to make number 8 feel good. And also, stick tap to the first name you heard on that highlight, Malcolm Subban. And Nick, this is the third straight time he has come in after a week or so off, in those three games since he was the guinea pig in that opener down in Tampa a little bit more than a month ago, he has a .939 save percentage.
Yeah, and you know, a .265 goals against average. I absolutely love the way that he's playing. And I got a chance to see him a lot when I was with Vegas for the first 2 years there, and when Malcolm came in, and just seeing the way that he prepares and seeing the way that he watched and learned from Dave Pryor, who was the goaltending coach at the time, and then obviously Marc-Andre Fleury. I knew he's got it in him, and it's so great to see him starting to play well, because he kept them in that game yesterday, gave them a chance to win. Obviously, the Hawks didn't really come out very well, but seeing Malcolm do well is awesome. He's such a great person, and he's got a ton of talent, and I think he's really going to just continue to get more confident. And then same thing with Kubi. I mean, this is a guy who, obviously, as you mentioned, Calder finalist last year, he's going to get hot. It's going to happen, and I think last night was a real good opportunity to see him pop one in and then see that confidence build. He's all smiles. This is one of the classiest guys, I think, on the team, and obviously a guy that as soon as he gets rolling, it's going to be like the floodgates open. So look for more from Kubi.
Yeah, and it was good to see, you know, during the recent homestand, it was a two-game set against Columbus, but, you know, the previous two games against Dallas, once Jeremy put Suter in between DeBrincat and Kane, those guys were on absolute fire. It was a little quieter night for them last night in Detroit, but speaking of Kubalik, you saw that line with Strome, and Brandon Hagel was elevated to that line, and he made things happen on the Matthias Janmarkko when he was out on the ice together with them, as Jeremy does some mixing and matching. But you saw a little bit stronger efforts from that line, centered by Strome, and Carl Soderberg starting to come on as well, as for the most part he had Kurashev and Janmark on his wings, but you're finally seeing Carl Soderberg. He's not the most fleet of foot guy on that roster by any means, but he brings so much other stuff to the table. He mentioned it took him a while to get going, and now we're starting to see that with the game tying goal against Columbus and that sweet apple last night to set up Matthias Janmark.
Well, I love the parity that this roster has right now, and I love the adaptability of it, and I think that's something that you don't always get with hockey teams. Yeah, there's mixing and matching from times, but when that happens, that normally means, okay, something's wrong in the roster. Coaches are trying to shake it up to inspire guys and get them going, but with this roster and the current situation in the world in the NHL, it's adaptability, and you have to be able to move around, and you have to be able to mix and match and get some pairings going. You know, you go back to maybe a lesser of a dynamic game from DeBrincat and Patrick Kane the other night, but whatever, that's all right. They've been just absolutely lights out, and that's, you give them a minute to catch their breath, no problem there at all. I've been super impressed with those two guys. Patrick Kane remains just, oh my gosh, it's just watching him play is like poetry in motion out there, and I absolutely love the way Brinksy's been playing. But man, Hagel, that guy brings so much energy. If I'm playing on a line with him, I'm like, I got to keep up with this guy, because he's going to create an opportunity, and he's going to score some goals here. Like, that's going to start to happen. He's had breakaways, and I know he's been a distributor more than a finisher, but oh my gosh, this kid, when he pops one too, same thing. Floodgates are going to open up, and it's going to be amazing. But if you're playing on a line with Hagel, you're like, okay, I got to go. I got to make sure I bring it, because this kid's going to go a million miles an hour, and he's going to put the puck on my stick, and I better be in the right spot to finish for him.
And that's what Kubalik and Janmark were talking about after the game. They were asked about playing with Hagel, because they each have had their turns here lately, and even within last night's game. And, he does so much for everyone else on the ice, and pretty soon he is going to get rewarded himself, you know, on the stat sheet for the things he does. Lord knows he's had enough breakaways so far, and it's going to end up getting in the back of the net for him. Hey, before we sign off, the Blackhawks had a very important announcement earlier today about them partnering once again with the PWHPA, the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association, along with Bauer and Secret, to host that Dream Gap Tour that we saw last year here in Chicago at the United Center and at Fifth Third Arena. It's the very best women's hockey players in the world, including the new player development coordinator, Kendall Coyne Schofield. She is going to play in this event once again. It's March 6th at the United Center, Fifth Third Arena on March 7th. It comes on the one-year anniversary of that NBC SN broadcast, the all-female broadcast with Kate Scott and AJ Malesko, Catherine Tappan, and Kendall was a part of that. Well, that trio, Scott, Malesko, and Tappan, will be there calling the game from the United Center, 2 o'clock on March 6th, on that anniversary weekend, and Kendall's going to be participating in it. I know you had some great interaction recently here, real quickly, with your work with the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association, and looking forward to having this event come back here this year.
Yeah, it's incredible. The PWHPA is amazing. It truly is incredible hockey to watch. Make sure you tune in for that. You know, Kendall's been a good friend of mine for a while, and last year when I was with the Hawks, she called and asked if I would jump in the play-by-play seat for the event in Chicago, and then I went on to do another event, a couple of games for them in Phoenix last year, in early March before everything went crazy. But it is fantastic hockey. I mean, it is fast-paced, it's action-packed, it's high-scoring, it's truly incredible. My hat goes off to the Chicago Blackhawks and AT&T and Bauer and of course Secret, who are behind the DreamCap Tour. And, you know, I'm looking forward to being a part of it again this year. I think it's just incredible. And, you know, Kendall Coyne has been such an amazing ambassador. And Jana Hefford, you know, she deserves a lot of credit for what she's done for the PWHPA as well, and all the amazing women that have participated in it. It's going to be real cool, and I can't wait to watch.
All right, another fun, 45 minutes this time around. We'll go the full hour next Monday. Great to be with you again, man.
Hey, thanks, Bodes. Stay warm out there. If you need me to come out and shovel for you, I'll use the extra cash.
No, you won't. Anyway, Jamie Faulkner, the president of business operations for the Blackhawks, now proudly making that announcement about the PWHA today, and hopefully we'll have her on to talk about it a little bit more in the coming weeks on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Special thanks behind the scenes. First of all, Ian Mitchell for joining us, the Blackhawks Media Relations, for helping set that up. To our producer, Curtis Koch, and to our engineer, Brett Jackson, we want to thank you all for listening once again.